Praise God. Have you discovered, you know, when you come to church, you typically get two sermons. You get the sermon, you get the sermon that the preacher gives you when he goes to the Word. But you get that sermon that the Holy Ghost gives you during praise and worship. You know, the stuff He speaks to your heart. It's amazing how He can just help emphasize and focus in on what's important, what to let go, and just getting your focus on the things of the Spirit of God. So praise God. Here we go with sermon number two this morning. We're going to start in a psalm that I love so much. It's really brought in strength to me through the years, Psalm 61. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." It's a beautiful, it's a beautiful prayer, but it's also a beautiful word picture too, of just how the Lord is the strength of our life. And especially that verse 2, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So you see a picture of instability, uncertainty, volatility, and yet strength in the midst of uncertainty. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And again, it's a psalm that just encourages us that no matter what's going on around us, storms of life, there is a rock. There is a secure place. There is a place that we can hold on to and find stability and strength, security. I actually had this psalm play out in a real-life experience 10, 11 years ago. It was back in 2001 in August. Our family was staying at a resort that we had stayed in, I did throughout my childhood, in Rice Lake. And I was going into town, into Rice Lake, and by myself in the van. And as I was, everybody was at the cabin. And as I was heading into Rice Lake, I was just kind of heading west, toward the city there. And as I was heading west toward the city, there was some ominous storm clouds I could see that I was starting to drive into. I've driven into and through storms before, and I think it's, no big deal. I can handle it. But this particular storm, as I got closer and closer to it, the clouds were getting blacker and blacker, and they were beginning to just kind of move like they were alive. And it was just kind of, I remember almost feeling queasy to my stomach. Just when you see some certain motions and, things that just shouldn't be happening. And I just thought, forget this. I'm not going to mess with this. I immediately turned the van around in the next driveway that I could find. And the weather was just, it was Rice Lake, a little north of Eau Claire, if you kind of know where that is, in the center of the state. And, the weather moves from west to east. Well, I was on the Highway 48. And I just kind of turned my car around, and I was just heading east, and I had the storm in my rearview mirror, and I was doing fine. I was staying ahead of the storm. The only problem is, in Rice Lake, that Highway 48 turns and goes north-south for a long way. And so as I was driving and I took that turn to go north, I could just see that storm, then, which was to my backside, it was now to my left. And I had this long, it was like a 10-mile stretch. And there was no way I could outrun it. It was just coming, closing, closing. And I had the radio on, and it was just, it was just about there. And I just pulled off to the side because the wind was so bad, and the rain was just like, it was horizontal and pelting. And as I was hearing the radio, they said, storm warning, Rice Lake, Wisconsin, funnel cloud has been spotted. If you're in your car, get out of your car. Take shelter. You are not safe there. You must take shelter. And I just thought, my first thought was, I don't want to leave this van. You know, it's warm, it's dry, it feels safe. And yet I knew that if a tornado were to drop down anywhere near there, it'd be a very short-lived false sense of security, because I'd get thrown, you know, who knows how far. And so I had to make that decision, that split-second decision. Okay, here I go. I pulled up next to a building, which is off to my right, and by the side of the building, there was this big, thick metal pole that came out of it that was cemented into the building and into the ground. It was just fixed. And so I remember just making a beeline toward that thing, and it was cold and wet, and the rain hurt. You know, it's like a really hard, pelting, pounding rain. And I just remember running over to the side of that building and seeing that iron bar and just grabbing onto it. You know, that's all I could do, is I was hugging that thing, because I knew that it's already a funnel cloud spotted, and I didn't know if and where it would drop, and I knew that I just had to hold on to this thing. And it, you know, those moments, they seem like forever when you're in them, but yet it was probably just about maybe 5-10 minutes, the worst of this storm. And the thing of it was while I was holding on to this pole thing, I could hear stuff going on. I could hear trees cracking, breaking. I kept hearing the screeching, like this metal on metal screeching. And it was just like, oh, and all these things go through your mind. I wonder what that is, you know, and as I'm holding on. But I'll tell you what, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying with my understanding. I'm getting my heart clear before God, you know, everything that's going on. Because you really, it's amazing. You know, they have these storm chaser things going on where you're kind of dodging tornadoes and seeing them up close, and it looks like it'd be fun. It's really dangerous stuff when you get close to really nasty storm weather, because it's not like, you know, even jumping out of parachuting or jumping out of an airplane, you can kind of control your parachute and landing. When you get around nasty weather, you can't control where that thing's going next or what it's going to do. It's a very helpless, volatile situation. And I just remember being in the middle of that, because I was always kind of fascinated. I thought, oh, that'd be kind of cool to see a tornado. But I'll tell you, after that experience, it's like, oh, praise God, I'm very glad, you know, to not be in the path of a tornado just for the thrill of seeing it, because it is a dangerous experience. I'm there holding on to this thing, and as it's going, and as I'm just hearing the things pelting, and just the thing that I remember, the other thing that I remember apart from what I felt and what I thought, was just the extreme sense of helplessness. There was nothing I could do to control the situation. Storm. A storm that you just can't, you know, you just can't get out and fix it. You can't change it. But the one thing I could do, the one thing I could do is I could hold on to that strong, secure place that was rooted into the cement of that building. It was rooted into the foundation slab in the ground. I knew that metal bar was not going anywhere. And as long as I was attached to it, I wasn't going anywhere. As long as I could hold on to it. That was the one thing I could control, was my grip on that thing in the middle of that storm. And like I said, it seems like a long time at the time, but I know in hindsight it was probably about 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, it went from this freezing, cold, pelting, loud sound to all of a sudden, it was just like this warm burst of air just... You know, I'm out in the open, and yet it was like somebody just turned on this. It was almost like a sauna burst of heat that came out. It was like, and it felt so good. It just kind of made me relax. It was balmy and warm, and just almost immediately the rain just stopped, and it was just things like lightened and brightened, you know, and just like this moment of time. And I just realized that, oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'd weathered that storm, you know, and as I began to get up, I could see that screeching sound that I heard was the metal. There was like a metal sign on a metal wire, and one of the wires, I just somehow got clipped. It must have been the movement of the sign in the wind that clipped the wire, so it was dangling on one wire, and it was just kind of banging and clanging up against stuff, and I began to see trees in the road, and, you know, I don't know, I couldn't... You know, I didn't know at the time whether a tornado had touched down or not. Apparently, as it turned out, the tornado did not actually touch. but you could just see amazing damage up and down the roads. And then going back to the cabin and seeing these huge trees that had tipped over, you know, didn't hit our cabin. Praise God we were staying, but a lot of close calls up and down the way. I mean, I couldn't even drive back to where the cabin was totally. I had to drive, you know, a ways out and then just get out of the car and walk through all the trees to get to where the cabin was. So it was a situation where there was tremendous storm, power, forces of nature, things out of my control. And yet there was one thing, praise God, there was one thing that I could hold on to. And as I lived through that experience, and as I've read this psalm in subsequent years, I thought, praise God, there is a rock that is higher than I. There is a place, there is something that I can do. There's a place that I can go to give me stability in the midst of my storm. And it's true, obviously, you know, in the natural, but it's also true, you know, in the spiritual, in life as well, too. There are storms that we deal with, whether it's people storms or financial storms or whatever it is, circumstantial storms, things are going on, and you realize that a lot of times when it comes to these kind of storms, you know, there's so much you just can't control. And it can feel very helpless, and it can seem very helpless. I love that. When my heart is overwhelmed, the math, it's checkmate in my mind. I don't know what to do next. Storms of life, they happen. They happen to the psalmist. They happen to us. But thank God, the same rock that is higher than I, that was there for the psalmist, is also there for us today too. His name is Jesus Christ. And I so thank God that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what you're going through, regardless of all the things that you can't control, there are some things we can control. And in the title of my message this morning is simply, Things I Can Control. Okay? As you go through these storms, as you're going through these life situations, you'll find that living for God is not being in complete control of everything at all times. You can't control things and people and money and all that. You can be responsible to manage and do your part, you know, to a degree and to a certain sense. But you're going to realize that living for God is not about being in control. There are things, however, you can control. And there's an interesting paradox here. But you find that the control that you ultimately realize in God comes from a surrender to God. You surrender control to get control. Put it that way. But what we're going to talk about this morning is things you can control. And you're going to see again, in the things you can control, there's a certain surrendering that goes on. But it puts you in that place of control. And these are things that God has given you, has ordained you to control. This is not man's selfish will trying to control God. No, this is stewardship. God has said, I want you to control these things. These are areas that God has given us. But as we look at these things, and as I, again, just want you to think about life, storms of life, situations maybe you're going through right now, you're thinking, wow, I wish I could make them do that. I wish I could make this happen here and just control it. Well, there's things you can control. And in controlling the things you can control, other things will begin to line up, and God will begin to take care of those other things. So, things I can control this morning. All right? What is that pipe that I can hold on to this morning? The first thing I want to talk about, things I can control, I can set my mind on Him, on God. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what's going on around me, I can set my mind on Him. Is it going to make me dry from the rain at the moment? No. Is it going to stop the rain pelting from coming? No, but I can set my mind on Him. That's one thing I can do in the midst of any storm. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That verse 2 again, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is a very powerful admonition. It's a commandment for New Testament Christians. Set your mind on things above. When the storms of life come, you'll notice that there are forces working against your mind to try to discourage you, to depress you, to put you in fear. There are forces at work in your mind to try to keep your focus on the problem and to try to scare you. But we have a command from our God that in the midst of anything, we can look up. We can set our mind on Him. Am I looking up to fix the problem? No. I'm just looking up to set my mind on Him, to keep my mind focused on Him. I might not know how to answer. I might not know how to fix this, but I can, Lord, look to You. I can look to You and keep my focus on You. Now, here's another kind of good parallel scripture that goes hand in hand with it, 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so we can see here, again in verse 3, we've got weapons, in other words, to be able to manage our mind. We have weapons that can manage what's going on up here. Now, I've kind of heard the illustration put this way once. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair, right? Which is a great little illustration because it does kind of show, again, there's things I can't control, there are things I can control. Yes, I can't stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can keep it from building a nest in my hair. Now, if you kind of take that analogy and think it through, or think it out, if you were to allow a bird to build a nest in your hair, it would come sit on your head, and it would take one little piece of grass at a time, a little stick, a little twig, and you'd have to patiently sit there, wouldn't you? And you'd have to work with it. You'd have to let it do it. And it would be uncomfortable, but for some reason, if you just let it do it, and you were to work with it, eventually it could build a nest in your hair. And it would take time, wouldn't it? Yeah. You think, well, why would anybody do that, right? Well, here we come. I'm going to come right back at you. That's exactly what we do when we allow the enemy. So you can't stop thoughts from popping into your head. You can take them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But if you don't take those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, those thoughts will become arguments, or in the King James, is imaginations. Thoughts left unchecked will develop into imaginations. Imaginations left unchecked will develop into strongholds. Thoughts are like the little twigs, the little pieces of grass that the enemy can fly into our minds. And if we don't use the weapons of our warfare and take those thoughts into captivity, those thoughts will become imaginations. Those imaginations will become strongholds. And we can carry around in our head nests of bitterness, insecurity, and they didn't get there overnight. You had to work with that little bird, as it were, to allow him to build that nest in your hair. Thank God, though, the good news is that no matter what stage, whether it's a little piece of grass right now, imagination, or a full-blown nest, there are weapons of your warfare right now to destroy any level that you'd be dealing with right now. The thing you can control is where you set your mind. You can absolutely control where you put it. In other words, you are not, the enemy does not have the ability to keep you from taking his thoughts and bringing them into captivity. There are powerful weapons we have: the Word of God, the blood of the Lamb, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how the enemy can spend years developing a stronghold in your mind, and a person speaking the name of Jesus can break the spiritual force of a stronghold by the power of that name. In the name of Jesus, that is it's a weapon that demolishes those strongholds of thought. Strongholds. You know how it happens? The enemy can get you thinking a certain way for a long time, and the Spirit of God can break the spiritual force behind it and give you revelation of the truth. And all of a sudden, stuck in your mind is the true revelation of God's Word and truth. And it's replaced that old way of thinking. God can do that in a moment of time. It's like, whoa, praise God. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's not from God. And I see that it's not from God. And I don't just theologically know that it's not from God. I see that it's not from God. He can show you. He can give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the power that works toward you as a believer. You can see things by His Spirit. Destroy things off your mind. Old ways of thinking. The thing that we can control, though, no matter what we're going through, is I can choose to set my mind on things above. I can choose to set my mind on Him. I can choose to set it on His Word. Now, I can talk about, you know, the Word and promises in specific, but a lot of different directions you can go with this particular step. We've kind of gone some of these other steps before. We've looked at the Word and speak the Word and the power that we get from, you know, beginning to think along the lines of the Word. But this morning, this element of setting our mind on Him, I really want to focus on the setting. Because this is, a lot of times, we know pretty much where to set our mind. You know, spiritual things, godly things, things that are going to build into us. You know, music that's going to feed our spirit, friendship, fellowships that's going to feed us. We kind of know those good things. But we need to realize that we never lose in the middle of any storm our ability to set it, our setter, okay? This morning, you can get so focused on God. God can just be so real to you. To where you see it, you know it, the Spirit of God is showing you things. But as soon as you walk out that door, there's going to be a lot of, you know, in this kind of way I like to think it. Think of your mind as a channel, you know. You know, these days we've got satellite TV, different things. I think you've got 100, 200 channels to choose from. Setting your mind in the midst of the storm is setting your mind on that God channel, on His provision channel, His promises, His goodness, His love. All those different things where you're setting it on God. But you'll notice that in the world we live in, there's a lot of things that can change that channel of your mind. I mean, you could see a billboard that could change the channel of your mind. You could see a person maybe who hurt you and offended you, change the channel of your mind. You could just see a certain geographical location that reminds you of something, can change the channel of your mind. Well, it's like that remote control. Me and Julie were watching a show, a movie last night, and all of a sudden the channel just changed. And we kind of looked at each other. We didn't have the remote control, but Abby was kind of jumping up and down by the remote control. So we surmised that, you know, she must have done something to trigger to change the channel. And something you realize is, you know, as simple as it is in the natural for a channel to get changed, it is amazing all the triggers that can change that channel in your mind. So when we're talking about things you can control, no matter who, what, circumstances, whatever, try to change that channel in your mind to get it off of God, you never lose the ability to change the channel back to God. You can always get it back there. Even if you've changed the channel and you've been on a wrong channel for a period of time, you can change it back. Change it. You never lose your ability. Remember that scripture in Corinthians? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. A real plain English version of that is, no matter what channel you're tempted to watch, you never lose your ability to turn back to the right channel. You never lose your ability to turn back and set your mind back in the things of God. You always have that control. The enemy will lie to your mind and tell you you don't have it anymore and you have to think the way he wants you to think. That's a lie. He is a liar and he's the father of lies. He's really good at it. He will lie to your mind and say, you are bound to this and you have to be bound to this and you have to set your mind there. That's a lie. This is true. We can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We don't have to set our mind on those things. We never lose that control. We never lose control to be able to say, okay, God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I can get my focus back on Him, back on His Word. Praise God, I never lose the ability to do that in the middle of any storm. Here's another scripture kind of hand in hand too. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, we could interject, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And so, we see here in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You notice it doesn't even have to say every circumstance of life lines up and then you have life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you can keep your mind on those spiritual, godly thoughts, God-oriented thoughts, again, we're really not covering all the facets of that in the scope of this message this morning, but you don't lose your ability to set. You don't lose the remote control that's in your hand, as it will, to keep your mind set on Him, to keep your focus set on Him. Am I trying to problem solve here? No, I'm setting my mind, and my goal is life and peace. From that place of life and peace, then you can begin to problem solve. Then you can get specific direction from the Spirit of God. But when you're going through that storm, you just need life and peace. When I'm going through that storm, I just needed stability. I wasn't trying to fix anything. I just needed stability right now. I needed the rock that was higher than I. I never lose control to set my mind on things above. I never lose my ability to stay in a place of life and peace. Doesn't mean I have the answers, but my focus is on Him. I'm looking to Him. And the cool thing about it is, when you're looking to Him and you know you're looking to Him, there's no better place. There's no more secure place when you know that. You're looking to Him. You might not have the answers, but you know you're looking to Him. You know that you're trusting in Him. You're putting your focus on Him. This is kind of what the Scripture also calls the fight of faith. Remember that charge to Timothy? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's a fight, isn't there? There's a fight to get your mind off His thoughts, off His channel. But you can fight. You can turn it back and say, no, I'm bringing you into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to stay spiritually minded. I'm keeping God as my focus. And let's see, Romans 12, 1 through 2 puts it this way. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love that. Don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what happens when you choose to keep your mind on God and the things of God and the Word of God. There's a renewing of your mind that takes place. Have you noticed that your mind, it's amazing how it works. It's almost like you've got a mental memory. When you can see something, it'll cause you to remember something, and it can kind of trigger mental things and mental paths in your mind. It's like if you could see a picture of your mind, you could see all these little rabbit trails and paths of one thing that'll lead to another that run. When you begin to bring your thoughts into captivity, there's a renewing of your mind that takes place. I don't know if some of you techie people might be able to appreciate the disk drive. You know, you can get a fragmented disk drive. It still works, but it's really slow because you got all your data kind of scattered throughout. But you can defragment your hard drive, which means the computer has the ability to make a nice, clean copy of everything and put everything in nice, neat, clean order again, and it creates these efficiencies in your computer to run faster. All right? So if you're techie and you get that, great. If not, don't worry about it. We'll move on. But in the same way, though, your mind, you can kind of get fragmented in different things. But when you begin to set your mind and keep your mind on things above, then all of a sudden, after the second and third time of seeing that person, or seeing that geographical location, or seeing that sign, and you have disciplined yourself to set your mind, you're not going through the same rigmarole every time. Something happens. There begins to be a renewing of your mind. And pretty soon those old thought patterns change to new thought patterns. man, you can all of a sudden, before it even comes down, the person, the thing, the situation, you can kind of see it coming and your mind's already set. It's already set. You're not even seduced. You're not playing with it anymore. It is set. And you're there. What happens? That's a renewed mind. That's a mind that is fixed, that is honed on God. Do you have the answers to your problems? Has it gotten you out of the rain? Has it gotten you dry? No. I'm renewing my mind. I'm controlling what I can control. I'm staying in that place of life and peace. And it says transformation, transformed. That word in the Greek is metamorphosized. Well, you're already born again on the inside, but there is a metamorphosized transformation that takes place in the way you think, in those patterns, those thought patterns. And you begin to get focused. I love what Jesus said. He said, if your eye is good, if it's single, your whole body is full of light. And that's what happens when you begin to realize, I haven't lost control of my mind. There's an enemy that might step on me and say, you've lost it. He's a liar. You're a liar. I haven't lost it. I can control where I set my mind in any situation. I have not lost that control. In Jesus' name, I resist that lie. And I do, Father, look to you. And I set my mind on you. And I look to your word. And I look to you in prayer. You are my focus. In all my ways, I acknowledge you because I can acknowledge you. And you direct my paths. You never lose that control. You keep that control, that ability to look to God in the middle of any situation. And finally, I just remember kind of a neat little analogy regarding a plane. You know, that say you got a plane that's flying from New York to Los Angeles. You talk to a pilot, when they're flying that plane, there's always little wind turbulences and wind pressures. They're always trying to push that plane off course. You know? And a pilot is going to continually, from New York to Los Angeles, be making continual adjustments to offset those forces that are trying to get it off its vectored course. I don't know a lot about this stuff. But they're able to set a course and a path or whatever. But they're able to compensate for those competing forces, you know? And a lot of times, that's what we're simply doing by keeping our mind on things above. You could, in your heart, have a destination for restoration and healing or, you know, whatever provision, whatever it is. And as you're heading toward that destination, you know, you could have those thoughts of, you know, remember what they did? Remember what they said? And you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got to correct it. Nope. No, even as God is, even as if any man has a complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, malice, and evil be put away from you with all evil speaking. What is it? Those are adjustments. They're spiritual adjustments for those offsetting forces. And if you allow those little thoughts and those offsetting forces to go unchecked, you'll go from the land of restoration and veer off into the land of retaliation. And all of a sudden your intentions can start out good, but what am I doing over here? Those little thoughts, it's those little wind currents that are trying to knock you off. You never lose the ability. And sometimes you might have to make those little corrections to stay on course. And as you see your, oh my goodness, I'm in the whole wrong place here. That's right, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. You might have to make big corrections to get back on track. Whatever you got to do, the Word is always there. Can always steer you in the right place, the right location. You never lose your ability to steer that plane of your mind and where you want it to go. That plane will go where you direct it. Praise God. So, first thing, things you can control. You can control, you can set your mind on Him. That is something you can control. You don't lose that ability in the storm. Number two, I can be strong in Him. Not only can I set my mind on Him, but I can be strong in Him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Excuse me. So, one of the things that we can do here is we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, you can be as strong as you want to be in God. Again, we kind of orient our lives around kind of everything going right and getting everybody to do things and people to line up and your ability to control things and all that. When you realize living for God, that's just not it. the thing, you can't control all that stuff. You can't control people and situations. But one thing you can control, not only keeping your mind on Him, you can control how strong you are in God. You can choose. You can choose to be strong in the Lord. Now, I'm going to look at a few facets of this. I guess we've covered a lot of these kind of truths about being strong in the Lord in some different ways. The Word of God, again. Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The power that's in the Word gets in you. It feeds your spirit, makes you strong in God. The Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. You've got the power of the Spirit. You've got the power of the Word. Again, I just want to say that's important. We've seen that. We know that. But this morning, when I'm talking about being strong in the Lord, being strong in Him, I'm not really focusing on those aspects. I'm focusing on something else. It'll kind of come through as we look at some of the scriptures. All related to being strong in the Lord. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And again, I just want to look at that verse 12. Imitate those through whom faith and patience inherit the promises. So many times, well, let's take a look at one other scripture and we'll kind of get it. Galatians chapter 6 puts it this way. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We saw in Hebrews that it's through faith and patience, in verse 12, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Galatians says in verse 9, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. The aspect of getting strong in the Lord, again, is not that we don't know that the Word of God has power in it, or that the Spirit of God has power to strengthen us. It's that aspect of diligence, that not giving up. When I talk about we can be strong in Him, we don't have to give up. We never lose our ability to be able to say, okay, God, here we go. I'm going to answer the bell again. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to be persistent. It's the secret to success of every diet plan you've ever been on and have had success. It's been your persistence and faithfulness to stick with it. Or any workout regime. I remember as a kid, seeing Rocky for the first time, thinking, oh yeah, cool, it's, you know, ready to run around the house 20 times. You know, by that third time, I go, oh, I'm starting to get tired. Or even, you know, even recently you could see something and hit that treadmill and yeah, man, by that 10th minute you're like, oh man. You realize, you know, no matter how noble your intentions are, you realize you just can't get into shape overnight, can you? You want to be strong now. You just want to, yeah. Same thing spiritually. You can, man, you hear a sermon, you get inspired, man, okay, praise God, I'm going to go after God and, you know, I'm going to memorize the whole New Testament and, you know, and by the eighth verse, you're sleeping and then nap jerking and waking up and going, oh, wait, what? When it comes to being strong in the Lord, there is a spiritual attention span that is like a muscle. It can be strong and it can be flabby. Same person. The same way it works in your natural body, it works spiritually. You can be strong in the Lord and you can be weak in the Lord. It doesn't mean anything's changed on the inside as far as the new birth, Holy Spirit, and all that. But you actively working with and participating with the strength of God that's on the inside of you can be strong or can be weak. And that's the thing you can control. There's no strength problem. Remember, like we said, Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that's already at work in you. All right? So there's no power issue in any believer. It's only a cooperation issue with that power. The more we cooperate with him and are yielded to him, praise God, the more power we have in our lives. The more we do things our own way and are stubborn, the less access we have to that power and strength and ability in our lives. But we can be strong in the Lord. There is enough power on the inside of us, praise God, that can handle everything we can think. Things we can't think, much less the things we can think about, much less the storms I'm going through. I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can work with the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me, but a lot of times it's going to come down to simple patience and staying with it. You know, it's if you've noticed in the natural, when you get into shape, there's still effort that you need to exert to stay in shape. Right? It's not like you can graduate into getting into shape and then do whatever you want. Same is true spiritually. There are times you can look back where you've been strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Times you can look back where you've been weak in the Lord. You know, and wherever you are now, you can get strong. You can get as strong as you've ever been and stronger. You can control how strong you are in the Lord. You control that. Just as sure as you can control your physical body. So we watch some of these shows, The Greatest, Biggest Loser. I haven't really followed them closely, but kind of watch them, watching my family watch them from the outside, and you see these people that have lost like hundreds of pounds, and it's amazing when you look at these, the before and after transformations. It shows the incredible capability of a human being who sets their mind to do something, the ability to if they'll stick with it. Again, that before and after didn't happen overnight. Months and months and months. That same discipline, spiritually, to get a vision for where you want to be, spiritually, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, getting a spiritual vision for your life, man, you can persist in the things of God, stay strong in Him, and as you do, things will begin to change. Things will begin to grow. Let me just kind of continue on here. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here's another beautiful example. You're going through tests. You're going through trials. You're going through some things. And what are you needing? You are needing His grace. You are needing His strength. And what are you doing? You are going to God. You are setting your mind on things above. You're setting your mind on Him. You're beginning to focus on Him. Beginning to pray, to cry, to call out. Be persistent in reading the Word of God. Those different things. And what is it doing? It's developing patience on the inside of you. You're developing... Let me put it this way. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that the testing of your faith strengthens your spiritual attention span. You can get focused on spiritual things and stay there. Stay there. You can stay there in God. That doesn't, again, happen overnight. That ability to spiritually stay focused on God, things, it's like a muscle, again. My daughter's at Rhema right now. It's amazing. I'll have conversations with her over the phone, and she's talking about theological things and concepts and kind of going back, thinking, wow, you know. Well, she's been sitting in Bible school 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I can tell that muscle is strong in her right now. She's thinking along those lines, and it's just like, yeah, it's something you can develop. You can get as strong as you want to. I remember picking up a barbell, you know, that was kind of in the way, and kind of in my mind already kind of knowing how much it you know, kind of the weight, and just thinking, man, it doesn't feel, feels like this is light. It feels lighter. And that was the first thought in my head. And just that second thought in my head, the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said, no, you got stronger. You got stronger. You see, the trials that we go through, whether it's a trial of, again, it could be a trial of an addiction, it can be a trial of bitterness, it could be a financial struggle, it could be whatever situation. I can't make those trials lighter, but I can get stronger. And as I get stronger, they won't be as heavy. There is something about you with your Bible cuddled up around Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth except that which is good to the use of edification. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Flip over to James 3. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and it's sown in peace of them that make peace. When you get around the Word of God, what am I doing? I'm just feeding myself on the Word of God. I'm feeding. And though these aren't just words. This isn't mind over matter. Jesus said, my words are spirit, they're life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Those words feed you. And all of a sudden, your ability to forgive gets stronger because you're stronger in Him. That is the thing you can control. I can't control the weight of the trial, but I can control the strength of my spirit. I can get strong. If there's an area that I'm getting packed in, I can get strong in that area. If there's a financial, I can get strong in the area of finances. I can get strong. Maybe, you know, a lot of times the enemy attacks you in areas that you've avoided in the Word. And so, they're great opportunities, aren't they? Those trials of your faith. To develop your spiritual attention span in different areas of the Word of God. You know, finances is a great one. A lot of times you can see abuses the church has done of finances and people trying to get your money. A lot of people can kind of have a jaded mentality, so they stay away from the financial aspect of the Word. And that can be an area where you struggle. But the Word still stays the same, and it still reads the same, and you can have your faith in the area of His supernatural provision. And know that as I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He will add all these things to me. Therefore, I take no thought about food or clothing and all those different things. I consider the lilies of the field. I consider His faithful providing hand. His promises are true. He does multiply the seed sown. He can cause all grace to abound toward me, that me having all sufficiency in all things will abound toward every good work. Begin to build myself up in those areas. Take them on purpose, head on, getting strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, very specifically in the area that you're being attacked. You can get as strong as you want to. It's not a comparison thing or a spirituality contest or a thing to get proud about. It's about getting strong in the Lord so that you are perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's a powerful place. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Your focus is on Him. He gives you the strength to do what He wants you to do. But you can get as strong in the Lord as you want to. And then what happens? I love that. Through faith and patience, they inherit those promises. It's not a drive-through situation where you're ordering at the drive-through window and you're ordering. It's not drive-through promises. These are inherited promises as you stick with it. And as you win some of those battles through His grace and His strength, praise God, you learn and you get equipped along the way. Yes, His Word is true in that area too. So remember that. Realize that. There's this intangible thing of just persistence. Discipline. You never lose your ability to be strong in the Lord. You never lose your ability to stay with it, to not faint, to hold on to it. You know, if you've ever read some of those, the diet pill directions, you know, I've looked at some of those things and it says, you know, take these two pills. It is also, you know, for everything to work right, it is strongly recommended that you observe a proper healthy diet, have a regular physical exercise regime, and get plenty of sleep. When you do all these things with these pills, you are guaranteed to lose weight. It's like, well, gee, okay, that's great. Those pills, all right, they're amazing, aren't they? No, I'll tell you what, it's the discipline of those simple, basic things over time that will cause the results to happen, whether it's in the natural or spiritual. You can develop that. So what I'm saying is that if there's an area, man, begin to see it like that's your weights in that area that you're going to overcome. Count it joy. Begin to realize, okay, I'm going to develop my faith in some of these areas. When do I say develop my faith? It means I'm going to find out what God has to say in His Word, and I'm going to get strong in it. We use the example of walking in love, forgiveness. But that's just one of many areas that you can begin to look to the Word and feed your heart on God's words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so that's what we're doing. Then finally, I never lose my ability to set my love upon Him. Psalm 91 puts it this way, because He set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I'll set Him on high because He's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I'll be with Him in trouble. I'll deliver Him and honor Him. With long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Here's a guy going through some pretty tough stuff. But look what he does. Because He set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high. The smartest thing you can do when you're going through a storm is just set your love upon Him. God, I love You. God, I love You. I love You. My heart, my mind, my focus is on You. There's just something about setting your love on Him. You're not trying to fix anything. You're setting your love on Him. It just like causes Him to go to work. It's like, okay, good. Now I can get something done here. Set your love upon me. I so love the way that's put, because it's talking about your heart, your mind, your focus, the love of your life, the passion of your heart. The psalmist put it this way. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just good times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Praise God. Just a beautiful picture. What are we saying when we set our love on Him? Just getting Him, making Him the praise and the focus of your life. You can praise the Lord at any time. You can praise the Lord at any time. The Lord, the Holy Ghost spoke a very powerful word to my heart one time. He simply said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. You know that? You don't have to figure everything out and then pray. You can bless the Lord at all times. Right in the middle of the storm, we saw Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, worshiping God. Same thing. That is, what are we talking about? Setting your love on Him. You never lose your ability to set your love upon Him. I don't know what's going on here, but Lord, I know one thing. You love me. I know one thing, that height, depth, nothing can separate me from the love that You have for me. And I just want You to know, Lord, nothing can separate me from the love that I have for You. That's You saying right back at You, Lord, in the middle of the storm. I know You're committed to me. I know no one can pluck me from my Father's hand. And I want You to know, Father, I'm not crawling out of Your hand. This is right where I'm staying with You. I love You through the hardest times, no matter what's going on. You can purpose to set your heart on Him. You know, you talk a lot of these Old Testament guys, they get in these situations and they were dealing with the Moabites, the Amorites, all those different ites, you know. And then they'd start serving God, loving God, and God would deliver them from the ites. And a lot of times it's just the same way in our lives. We begin to set our love on Him, and it can be whether it's the ites again of strife or fear or sickness, loneliness, financial crisis, whatever. The ites have a lot of different forms. But that same power of God, as we begin to set our love on Him, has that same delivering power in our life. We can control. I can magnify the Lord. And really, when we're talking about setting our love upon Him and magnifying the Lord, it just basically means making God bigger than any situation. Bigger than the financial situation, bigger than the relationship situation, bigger than anything you're going through. It's setting your love on Him, your love for Him, realizing He is big. He's bigger than that. And that's the rock that is higher than I, the joy and the comfort that you're able to take in that. And then finally, Jesus said, He was asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And just wanted to close this point with a song, just part of a song that I, you know, it's just an amazing encouragement. It's really like a love song to God. It simply says, I couldn't face my life tomorrow without your hope in my heart. I know. I can't live a day without you. Lord, there's no night, there's no morning without your loving arms to hold me. You're the heartbeat of all I do. I can't live a day without you. I could travel the world, see all the wonders, beautiful and new. They'd only make me think of you. And I could have all that life offers, riches that are far beyond compare, to grant my every wish without a care. Oh, I could do anything. Oh, yes. But if you weren't in it all, I couldn't face my life tomorrow. Jesus, I live because you live. You're like the air I breathe. Oh, Jesus, I have because you gave. You're everything to me. You can just fall in love with God. You can just fall in love with the Lord. You can set your love on Him powerfully, you know, beautifully. Just telling the Lord, expressing to the Lord your love, seeing in the little things, setting your love on Him. There's an intimacy with Him, a secret place intimacy with Him that's so powerful, so amazing. The Bible just puts it like this, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. There's something about the intimacy of your love with Him. There's such an intimate love there, it just dispels the fear. You're not even trying to get free as much as you are just setting your love on Him. And something happens in the setting of the love that dispels the fear. We're talking this morning about things I can control. I can set my mind on Him. Nobody takes the remote control of my mind. The enemy can't take it. He can make me think he's got control and lie to my mind to try to get me to push the wrong button. But the fact of the matter is, I can set my mind. I can bring into captivity every thought, his lying thoughts into captivity, and say, no, praise God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which includes changing the right channel. I never lose that control. I can always set my mind on Him. I can be strong in Him. Again, kind of focusing on the persistent side of it. It's not a drive-through strength. It's not an overnight strength. It's not a gimmick strength. It's a faithfulness strength through faith and patience, beginning to get strong in the Lord on purpose in whatever area that I'm needing that strength. Again, can fill in the blank, whatever the storm might be. But there's the Bible says, whereby have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that we need from Him, He has made provision in His Word. We can say, Lord, show me. Lead me into those paths of righteousness in your word for your name's sake. And I can on purpose get strong in any area. I don't have to admire somebody else's walk. I can get strong in the Lord in any area of my life. And any thought contrary to that is a lie of the devil. This is when, you know, we're so used to a world, we got natural giftings, that Olympian, all that, natural giftings. This isn't about natural giftings. This is about whosoever will. Anybody can get strong in any area. These are not natural gifts. These are precious promises. And all those promises are yes and amen. All of them to any believer who will believe. Anybody can get strong in any area on purpose. You always have the ability to do that. You don't lose that in the storm. And then finally, I can set my love on Him. I don't lose my ability to just dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No matter what, I'm going to set my love on Him. Just going to be, you know, I'll tell you what, this is your own personal walk. You know, you can do stuff in the secret. There's stuff you do in the secret place that you don't do in the public place, right? You can enjoy a secret place relationship with the Lord in terms of your love and what you say and just, and it's rich and it's good and it's pure and it's sweet and it's right. Pursue that secret place. Set your love on Him relationship. Fear will go. There's a lot of things you might not know, but you know that you are walking with God. You know, we're not down here to represent His theology in the earth. We are down here to walk hand in hand with Him, to say what He tells us to say, and to do what He shows us to do. We're co-laborers together. It's intimate. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. And so, what might be a devotion time or, you know, a prayer time or whatever, it's green pastures to me. It's hanging out with my good shepherd. I love Him. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I love Him. I trust Him. He's a safe place. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you this morning for the things in the middle of any storm that would be represented here this morning. Things that we can control. Things that we never lose control over. Oh, Father, we just come before you with hearts purposed. Praise God. Even that iron bar that was protruding from the wall or from the ground, that was just secure. We come before you this morning gripping some things. We come before you gripping that ability to set our mind on you. We don't have to let the birds build the nest in our hair. Thank God we can have clear minds, a spirit of a sound mind working in our life. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I have control of my mind. I can set it. I can reset it again and again and again on you. I never lose that control. I reject the lie that tells me that I have. And I agree with you. Colossians 3, verse 2, tells me to set my mind. That means I can set my mind. And I set it on you, Lord. Life and peace from your thoughts. I can be strong in you. I can be an expert in any area that I will give myself to through faith and patience. I can inherit the revelation, the spiritual attention span, the spiritual strength, the manifestation of the promise of God. I can get good at living for you in any area. I am not exempt from any promise of God. They are all yes. They are all amen. Even for my storm. And Heavenly Father, I thank you. I never lose my ability to set my love on you, to fall in love with you, to tell you so, to worship you, to love you, to trust you. Thank you, Father, for the things I can control. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.